It is episode 117. Today we discuss Teams and WebEx, a compare and contrast, specifically licensing. I'm Michael Askins, architect and technologist, and this is IT Pro Tech Talks. In the virtual studio, I have with me today Chris Bomba. How you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Glad to see you back. We had you on previously, and you're going to be a reoccurring face for our viewing and listening audiences. So thank you so much for coming. I think originally our landmark anchor sponsor, Solutions for Networks, which for transparency is the day job for us, they wanted us to do a compare and contrast, and they had us like boxing style. You know, I was fully expecting to have this, like the promotion for this to be ringside or something with the bell dinging, which one's better. And as we dug into it, we actually delayed getting this out because we found that as we started really, truly comparing and contrasting both solutions, it sprawled a bunch of different areas for us to really look at. So again, thanks for being back. And you ready for this?
Yep.
All right. Okay, so we're gonna dive in and we're gonna look at a couple different things, right? So we're gonna look at the overview and specifically how licenses are, which models there are from a overview perspective. What do the terms look like? So we'll kind of lump those together, and if we want to start off with the Cisco WebEx, the licensing model, and what do those terms look like?
Yeah, so traditionally, Cisco licensing required users to make large upfront, purchases to cover all of those licenses of the components of the voice and UC environments. We're talking, call manager for call processing, Unity connection for voicemail, emergency responder for E911 purposes. That customer then, right, would be required to carry and cover maintenance and support contracts on an annual basis. So this led to, essentially swag guesses that, down the road where you weren't really sure what you were going to have to purchase or need if you didn't plan appropriately. Since then, Cisco has migrated away from perpetual licensing in lieu of subscription-based, just like many, basically all other vendors in the UC environment today. The good thing about the subscription model is that you can pay your contract all at once or over time. It can fluctuate, so you don't have to, pay for a bunch of licenses, and then if you're not using them, you really are stuck with them for those maintenance purposes. So what Cisco calls that is flex licensing, and it's based on users, which they consider knowledge workers, and not necessarily devices anymore. Mm. So as part of the knowledge worker scheme, just like any good planning or licensing planning from customers, you probably want to break those down into something we would consider personas. So let's say that you wanted to have, executive staff persona, the office staff persona, and then warehouse, and then maybe common area devices. And what that's going to allow you to do is not only purchase the correct licensing for that specific user type, but also the devices as well behind that. What type of experience do you want those users to have? So by breaking this up, it gives you a nice model to follow in terms of, your license purchases. So from Cisco's models, we have essentially four. Three, if we talk specific voice environments. The first one is named users. So named users are essentially that, right? Anybody that is going to use the system or the service. And you're going to purchase those. There's no minimum, right? And no maximums. So, if you have a small system and you need, 5 or 10 users, you can purchase 5 or 10 named users. The second one is enterprise agreement. With enterprise agreement, you are going to cover all knowledge workers in your organization and provide services for those users. The minimum requirement for an enterprise agreement is 250 knowledge workers. Again, no max. If you want 100,000 knowledge workers, you can purchase that. We'll talk more about what each of these provide you later on. And then if we talk specifically in the meetings realm, Cisco has an option for active user. With active users, you're required to purchase entitlements only for those users that are actively hosting a meeting. There is a minimum of 40 users for that. And then people that are familiar with the Microsoft model, there is a newer from WebEx that allows you to, or any company, to go just purchase services directly from WebEx. So you can browse to webex.com and you can purchase licenses directly through there. Generally, the pricing you would get if you go through a partner is going to be better than what is advertised on there. But it does give you the ability to immediately purchase, activate, and start using the services.
That is brilliant. I know a lot of the things historically have been programmatically done with Microsoft, and you can do license assignment programmatically with Cisco. But there's the true up, true forward, and it became this big giant, I need to talk to my rep, but the fact that you can just go and buy directly from it, that's brilliant. So I appreciate that model in 2023. I'm glad they're there, right? Because that is the model Microsoft has as one of them. I refer to it as buy now, right? So one of the models is go to the site, or if you have a tenant already and you want some voice services, you're able to go inside the admin center, click on what your license for, or purchase services, buy now. So it's that easy to start consuming. So there's parity there, definitely. So one of the other models that Microsoft has is very similar, structured agreements. EAs like WebEx has are structured agreements with larger organizations where they'll include voice inside of some of those. Usually that's coupled with other licensing, whereas with WebEx, it's a little more discreet. You're buying that service and subscribing to that service. With Microsoft, it's less clear because it is bundled with, you know, particular SKUs, security SKUs, and to make it more appealing to use voice and security products from Microsoft, they try to bundle all of that together. And then there's the, a la carte purchasing, as I like to call it, where, as you mentioned, one of the things that's interesting is we always hear this pushback from we don't want to have everybody have conferencing because I don't want to be nicked for whatever the conferencing cost is for each person, but it's whoever originates that call. If you need an outside line, then a dial-ins, having people join from PSTN, then you need to add that user, that licensing. So instead of just blanketly saying each one of your users gets voice conferencing, because we know that Teams voice conferencing works regardless if you have a license for voice conferencing or not, because it's a Teams meeting or conference, they have that a la carte option for you to bolt on that. I need to add PSTNs and have a dial-in from whichever region I want to have. And again, the lengths they vary. So if you do a buy now, it's monthly. You have the ability to subscribe yearly. And then there's also your EA terms, which, you know, typically there is a possibility of right-sizing your EA, depending on how it's structured, or if you have a structured agreement with Microsoft, it's a little less clear because a lot of people don't know you can just, you know, true up and true right and get everything, you know, good halfway through and drop products and reassociate that. So it is very similar. There is some parity there. And it's definitely good that Cisco, for me, like if we're having a score column, that's like a plus one for Cisco, only because, you know, being able to be nimble and get out there and say, okay, you know what, I need to add some users. Or if there's a small organization, it's like, you know what, I just want to go in and I want to subscribe and go. I mean, that's one of the things that our team for the day job does a lot. We have people just going out there and willy-nilly just like, I'm buying services, but I got it. Now I don't know how to use it or make it, you know, valuable. So I don't know if you guys have seen that on the Cisco side yet, where people buy a pile of things and then they just don't know how to make it beneficial or not. Is that something you're seeing or?
Not as much, just because, right, in the past, you users or customers really couldn't go out and just purchase stuff. I mean, they could from a different partner, and if a partner maybe just didn't do their due diligence or design something appropriately. We have seen that in the past where customers, you know, a lot of customers purchase stuff and maybe they just, you know, don't really know what was involved or included in the subscription. So, you know, they use maybe, you know, 60% of what they're, you know, really entitled to.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. And especially with all the little nooks and crannies in both solutions, it is hard, you know, as professionals in this space, it's hard to stay on top of it, let alone if your day job is something else and you just need to help manage getting these solutions in. Rolling on to the next area, we have options, right? We want to see what the subscription options are, different things we can do from a bundling perspective. What does it look like from an options perspective? Let's keep informed. How about we go with Cisco first and see what options are there?
All right, before we touch on that, I just want to touch on the terms from Cisco side.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. I'm sorry, I thought we hit that.
Yeah, no problem. So right, like most subscriptions, right, you can pay, set up your subscription for monthly payments, annual payments, or you could prepay it up front. Your subscription lengths can range from, you know, 12 months to 60 months for 5 years. Generally, we like to start with 36 months because from Cisco's perspective, anything from 3 years and up, you get a larger discount on the subscription. Mm. You can modify the subscription throughout the term. Modifying means you can, you know, use more of something. You can't decrease the subscription until your term is over. Mm. New EA subscriptions do give you the ability to downsize up to 10% of your knowledge workers after the first 12 months. Okay. So, and then, you know, the sort of rule of thumb for me is to never really allow your subscription to auto renew. It's just something that we've seen a lot in the past, and we tell customers this. Yeah. The reason being is if you auto renew your subscription within Cisco, it renews at all of your current levels, all of your current knowledge worker counts, right? There's nothing that you can change because you're renewing your current subscription. What we like to recommend is to turn off auto renewal, work with us to make sure that the next subscription is right sized, whether it's more or less, so that, you know, moving forward, you have the right type of services that you're going to need in the future. And then lastly, Mike alluded to this, was that the true up and true forward. So with Cisco, you know, if you do burst and go over and say, you purchased 100 licenses and you've been using 150, come the time of renewal, you are now going to be, you know, moving forward, you're going to have to cover that 150 users, but you're not dinged for using that extra 50 for that, say, like maybe last 3 months of the subscription.
That's quite the difference, right? So that gives you growth pain relief, if you will, huh? So if you're blowing up as an organization, you're coming near the end and you start ballooning out, it makes it pretty easy to help scale that and get those licenses forward. So, you know, a lot of tech providers have always done the true up where, you know, you have to account for what was put on the ground in the past. And then, you know, it comes time to, you know, get things moving for the next contract. You have to pay up for the thing, the delta difference, and then you have to plan it forward. It becomes this accounting mess, if you will. Like even the times when I was in the enterprise space and doing a lot with our EAs, it was significantly more difficult to plan that out, especially if you have unexpected growth in an org. So that's very, very business friendly. Pretty good. So there is a little bit of a difference there. So it's worth noting. And I think one of the things that also comes into play too is this is the shameless part of the day job plug that I'll do, is we have cost optimization offerings for the day job. And, you know, a lot of organizations do this too, where we have the ability to, you know, prior to your EA expiring, to look under the cover and see what you've used and help you right size your environment appropriately and be that bridge gap between vendor and business in a more agnostic way on behalf of the customer. So I have to say that that's always something that, to your point you made about the auto renew, it's, I would suggest we roll back a few months even before that and say, hey, let's start planning with you on what's coming down the line. We can look at product roadmap that might not even be publicly released to help you slot into the right license type and then help move forward. All right, options. Okay, so kick it off, man, because this is where it starts getting a little weird, right?
Yeah, so from Cisco side, because they offer, right, they have the on-premise environment as well as the cloud, so it does get a little, you know, sticky here. And you're just trying to, you have to just decipher it all before making a choice here. But it's broken down, we'll say, into three sections, right? There's the suite, there is calling, and then there's meetings. So the WebEx suite is essentially, you know, it's going to give you everything and at the best price, right? If you're going to bundle callings and meetings, if you're, say, you know, Cisco's my vendor of choice, this is what's going to be deployed, you know, enterprise-wide, then the WebEx suite is usually the best option because of you're getting about around a 20% cost savings if you purchased callings and meetings separately. So WebEx suite, just assume, just think of it as, you know, all you can eat. It's going to be calling and meeting for your users. From a calling perspective, they have essentially three different solutions. There is the pure cloud option, which is WebEx calling. So that would, you know, be something equal to, you know, the Microsoft environment and how they do their phone system. So it's all cloud, multi-tenant. There are, you know, lots of hardware and software that will register to that environment. Then we have the on-premise. So that's the more traditional environment of Call Manager and your PBX on-prem. You know, we see a lot of customers that, you know, still need this in their environment. Maybe they have a lot of older hardware, third-party integrations that don't support the cloud environment yet. So this would be a license choice for them if that was the case. Then there's an option that bridges the gaps between the two. It's called dedicated instance. So what dedicated instance is, it essentially takes a snapshot, or well, let's say a snapshot, a footprint, the architecture footprint of the on-prem environment and hosts it in Microsoft or in Cisco's cloud. And it's dedicated to you as the customer, so it's not multi-tenant, and you would cross-launch that integration from WebEx Control Hub, and it's everything. It's, you know, all Call Manager, Unity Connection, IAM and Presence, CER for E911. Some benefits of that would be that, you know, again, you still have some of this old hardware or legacy environment that you need Call Manager for, but you really don't want to host Call Manager anymore on-prem. You can move this to dedicated instance. There's a couple of different connectivity options, right? There would be, an MPLS connection through Equinix would be an option, or you can do over the top with IPsec or with GRE tunnels. So there are a couple options that get you out to there, to that environment. But that would be for, you know, users that aren't ready to go complete to the cloud because they have some sort of on-prem requirements. And then from a meetings perspective, so, right, you have a couple options from meetings. You can purchase a la carte of the suite, and the suite would be meetings, trainings, webinars, for that type of function. Mm-hmm. And then, or you can just purchase each one of those separately. So you don't have to purchase, you know, the WebEx, the meeting suite. You can purchase just one of those type of meeting licenses by itself. And then, right, along with Microsoft, there are free options, right? Anybody can go download Teams and, you know, interact with, you know, Microsoft meetings. The same thing is true with WebEx, right? So if you go out and you download the WebEx app, you can call anybody with a WebEx account. You can call any SIP-based endpoint that's on the internet. You can host your own meetings up to 40 minutes. you know, 100 participants, and you can have unlimited messaging to other users that are also using the WebEx app.
That's brilliant. The free is good, but there is the limitations. I know organizations try to ride the free during the pandemic, and some of them got by. Others had realized that we need to get the full juice just because, you know, things didn't settle down as quickly as they expected. Kind of looking at what the options are with Microsoft, it's a little more streamlined from a voice perspective. Mostly because Microsoft's new to the voice world, right? They don't have the on-prem footprint from a service perspective that Cisco does. So there's a lot more engineering and thought that needs to go into the Cisco solution in a good way, right? So the ability to have that dedicated instance, it's, to me, I see that as when we're doing Azure work for the day job, like that's the lift and shift, right? Let's like get it out of your data center, let's get it to the cloud, and let's pipe up to it and make that best because of dependencies. Microsoft doesn't necessarily have that same challenge. So their options are a little more straightforward when it comes to how they license. And I'm going to look at my notes here because it does get confusing. We got the Microsoft phone license plus a DAO plan. You can have a domestic or international DAO plan, and then plus conferencing, right? So there's call in, call back. There's the ability to have that conferencing handled, right? So that's kind of your pure play. Here's the phone licensing. Now, one of the things that happens as you move up in SKUs and licensing, as I mentioned earlier, this is where the magic bundle occurs, right? So some of the higher licenses that are out there, it may include that phone license. You just need to attach a DAO plan to it. Again, domestic or international, and depending on where you're at, would determine what you would need, right? So it becomes a little more math when we're calculating ROI. In you know, total cost of ownership when it comes bundled, because we have to try to break that out and make sense of that for our customers. And then there's the standard free, as you mentioned, standard free teams calling and meetings, no PSTN. There's no dial-in capabilities on the free, unless you have a paid conferencing added to your account, right? So it's like what, about $2.50 right now, running somewhere around that cost to have that conferencing and get that dedicated number. And I would just kind of want to call out with conferencing and Microsoft, because I field this question all the time, and I've mentioned it before. Just to be clear, though, you can join Teams meetings just with having Teams, right? You can just reach out and join a Teams meeting. If you're going to host a meeting and you want to have that dial-in number for those who aren't coming in on Teams, or those who are, you know, hitting the speed dial in the commute or what have you, you can do that, but you need to have that license added on for that. It for those users who need that capability. I did a project not too long ago where, you know, they had like 180 people like, oh, this is out of price range. It's like, who hosts meetings? Like 10 of them did. So like it comes into that planning and that architecture. And I think this bodes to both solutions, and validate or contend me here on this one, Chris. But I think the planning, even though these are commodity things, you can go just hit buy now. What makes it useful is the planning of who needs what and what capability does it need to be configured. I'm sure you see that with Cisco too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's, you know, definitely different tiers or, you know, structures that you want to make sure. And that's where in the beginning we talked about the personas, right? You want to make sure that all gets tied into, you know, what sort of waterfalls underneath those personas and what they're going to get with that license.
Yep, absolutely. So we're rolling into the calling plans, and I kind of touched on calling plans already for how we license or what options there are. So again, for the options, it's like a phone license plus a DAO plan. When I said that is the calling plan that we're referring to here. So Microsoft has domestic and international plans. There's also, you know, the ability to have third-party providers inside your system or handoffs to your voice system, and have those third parties be part of that, brokered SIP handoffs. And or I know for a while there, you can buy direct from like T-Mobile on their website. Again, that's that push button buy now. But there's also your bring your own PSTN. And this is something that we talk a lot with our customers who have Cisco, but they also want to have Teams too as well. Or if they have a service that's out, a cloud subscribed service, that is 100% able to be brought into Teams, and that is done via direct routing. And you're our direct routing guru, by the way. Even though you do a lot of Cisco work, you are by far our direct routing guru. So I'm sure we can have a conversation just around that. And there's no charge to port your DIDs with Microsoft from a calling plan, where some of the other services out there, they have the service fee to move your number. So if you own your numbers, or you have ownership, or you're grasped onto your numbers, then by far you have the ability to go through the porting process, the porting desk. Now, that being said, you have to look at your geography, because not all numbers are available everywhere. But yes, you can port your own numbers. Any comments on the Microsoft stuff, since you do the direct routing mostly for us?
No, I mean, the nice thing about Microsoft with that DID, you know, in Cisco, you have to pay for that DID. We'll talk about it in a second. But the specifically on direct routing, you know, our customers are, you know, some of the larger customers, most larger customers, they've worked really hard to establish those relationships with those telco providers for your, you know, SIP trunks and all of your, you know, concurrent call paths. And you know, your team has probably beat them up on pricing, you know, and got them down to where they want it. So, you know, we tell you that, you know, don't move away from that. And that's the beauty of direct routing, is to be able to, you know, have that solution where all of your SIP environment, all your SIP trunks, your PSTN connectivity stay on prem, but you still can consume all of those cloud services. And the nice thing is, you know, let's say you go with Microsoft and you decide to switch, you go to WebEx, or you go to Zoom, or some other, you know, provider that isn't mentioned. You don't have to fight with those other vendors and those providers to move your numbers, you know, between one cloud provider and the other. If you have them on-prem and your SBC, you know, is compatible with, you know, the new provider, then all you're really doing is just pointing the numbers to where they need to go. So it gives you a lot more flexibility in that regard.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and this is not a leading question, because I don't know the answer to this, and you may. And if it's not, if something we don't know, we're going to find out, and we'll put it in the links below. Say you subscribe to Lumen or 8x8, and then you decide to deploy Teams, because I know that both of those have Teams voice services there. Is that something that can live in both worlds? You can have some of your numbers in the Cisco world, but to move some of them over to the Teams world, either during a coexistence or a migration or not, I'm not sure as how that would work.
So if you have Lumen, because Lumen is an operator connect, I believe. So there's a couple things, right? For that, you probably can have, you know, specific numbers pointed in two directions. So if you have Lumen and you're on-prem today, right, you can just then enable direct routing to those environments, those cloud providers, and, you know, just bring them in and send them back out. Yeah. You know, specifically Lumen, because of Operator Connect, I'm assuming that you would be able to just say, hey, I have this block of numbers, I want these to go, you know, to Microsoft, while the others continue to go
the other way. Yeah. I know there's been conversations with some 8x8 customers that we have. And, well, oddly enough, there are some RingCentral customers that historically I've worked with, where they were RingCentral and they wanted to keep everything. So they just did a trunk into Teams, and RingCentral handed all the calls off to Teams, which seems kind of counterproductive for RingCentral to do that. But it just seems like I think the flexibility is there, and we want to make sure that, you know, everybody knows there's options no matter where you're at, especially if you have your stuff. Again, calling plans, didn't forget about Cisco this time like I did before. Sorry, man.
No, so Cisco recently, you know, in the last year and a half, about a year and a half, released their own version of calling plans. So it's, you know, essentially Cisco PSTN service from Cisco. you know, just like Microsoft, right? You can port your numbers to Cisco. And however, though, you do have to pay the $1 a month for that DID on top of the actual service. So you're there's no minute bundles, let's say, like where Microsoft gives you minutes, and then you, if you go over those minutes, you dip into communication credits, where Cisco is unlimited local and long distance, and then all you're paying for is international based on a rate schedule. So you're not, if you planned accordingly in the Microsoft world, that's probably going to save you a little bit of money, because those meeting those minute bundles are actual bundled, right? So if one user only makes 5 calls a month, but you have some heavy users, well, they can dip into the other users'
shared pool.
So it's nice. And that's where something you want to just plan for, look at some analytics that you have in your current environment before making those decisions. One cool thing, though, that Cisco calling plan started is they now will SMS enable your DID for free. So inside of the WebEx app, if you port your numbers, when you port your numbers to Cisco for the calling plan, you can enable the feature, and it can be enabled user by user or system wide. But you will be able to send and receive SMS messages from your business line through the app. So I thought that was kind of cool. I've tested it out. It works really well. The other cool thing is you can enable so if you port a DID to Cisco, you can SMS enable the DID without actually assigning it a calling plan, which was interesting. So if you had somebody that only wanted to SMS in their environment, you can actually do that without having to pay the monthly fee.
That's brilliant.
The limitation of Cisco calling plans, however, is they do not support toll-free numbers. I believe it's coming at some point, but it's been coming for a while now. You would still have to, if you do have some toll-free numbers, you'd have to either keep them with your current provider and just point them to the DID that's over in Cisco, or move them to another provider and do the same thing. Just like Mike mentioned with Microsoft, there is a cloud-connected PSTN, which allows you to partner up with different providers, IntelliPeer being one of them. That would allow you to have your phone service with a different cloud telco, but it's dumping directly into Cisco's environment, the WebEx environment. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, is the premise-based PSTN, or bring your own PSTN. Just like direct routing, Cisco has the same thing. So they essentially use your a gateway or an SBC that's on-prem to be able to receive your calls and then send that off to the WebEx cloud.
That is pretty on par with parity there. The SMS bits. So I declined to not put that in here because it is unclear to me the current state of SMS in Teams with a business account. I know Teams free, the more consumer version does support SMS group chatting. There is historically with Microsoft SMS, the third party add-on that you would add to your service to help with SMS gateway. And I think that is for more volume than it is for the one-offs. So I do tip the hat to have that business SMS included with it, because it's a little less clear how you deploy and use that within the business solutions for the Microsoft, which, leads down the path of security. So obviously, I think there is, a lot of emphasis that needs to be put on security. That's part of what I do for the day job, is talking about making sure things are hardened and secure and we have visibility. So Microsoft, obviously, AD integrated. So all the services are sitting next to the identity provider. It's, right there, Azure Active Directory, connected to your Active Directory if you are doing that. You have role-based access control. So if we're going beyond the calling and we're going with the collaboration side, all of that extends into the full Teams client. But the collaboration bits isn't necessarily what we're touching on today. It's more the voice portion of this, but sitting right next to role-based access controls, everything is encrypted end-to-end, as with most solutions. Calls and videos inherit permissions from groups and controls with external users. So that's important to say too, because when you have a, say, a meeting, and you're inside that meeting, the controls on that group or that team will determine what abilities you have when you're inside of that meeting. So it's going to inherit those permissions from those group controls, and with external users, which is super important. So when you are there and you're sharing and you're dropping stuff in chat, you know, those who are on Teams are very familiar with seeing that message of so-and-so removed from chat, or this chat's no longer available. It's because it's just not an open-ended, you know, flow here. But from a voice perspective, if we're just talking dial tone again, everything is across the wires encrypted end-to-end. Cisco, I know, has some very similar stuff. So how about we run through that?
Yeah, from a security perspective, right, everything that, you know, they take the zero trust security stance, where everything, right, is end-to-end encryption and then verified identity. They, you know, give you the option for a cloud KMS for key management service. Well, by default, it's the cloud KMS. That, you know, master key protected by all the hardware security module in the cloud. They do give you the ability to create your own on-prem KMS solution. So they call it hybrid data security. So it works no differently than the cloud KMS, except the keys are obtained and accessed through an on-premise deployment of your of the server. So
just don't let your keys.
Exactly. Yeah. What that means is, right, then the customer now owns the keys, locking, you know, everybody out of, you know, anything that's in the cloud except for themselves, which is good. I mean, that's, you know, for security focused customers, that's great. The problem there, right, is, yes, you know, do not lose those keys. Make sure you have them, you know, accessible and available. It also means that if, you know, at least this is how it was the last time I looked at it and deployed it, was that it only starts changing the keys from when you actually implement the hybrid data security. Okay. Meaning anything beyond that or previous to when you implemented it, you wouldn't be able to see anymore. It's only just, you know, moving forward. So if that is something that you're interested in, you want to make that decision up front. Not, you know, not further on down the line. You know, on top of that, like, there's a lot of sort of system-wide settings that you can do from, say, the mobile security, right? Because if, you know, users now with the mobile workforce, they're going to be using their cell phones a lot more often. So, you know, it does give you the ability to wipe out some caches and content that's on the mobile device from the WebEx app. You know, of course, not allowing the app to launch if the PIN lock isn't enforced or isn't secured by a PIN or a password. You can then, you know, it of course integrates into all many of the MDM solutions. So Mobile Iron, Meraki System Manager, AirWatch,
Intune.
And Intune. Yeah, there's an Intune integration for via SDK. So, and then lastly, you know, well, not lastly, I mean, I guess from Control Hub, we do, you know, you can integrate into Active Directory or Azure AD. So you, we have something called a directory connector, which would be a client that's that goes for the on-prem environment. Yeah. And then we can sync over the Azure Active Directory via group base using SCIM for that type of connectivity. So it's nice. That's good for, you know, you don't have to worry about going in and deleting users, deleting services when you use that type of connectivity, and we would recommend it.
Yeah, keeping attributes up to date, not nuking AD, is highly important.
Yeah, and then lastly, from a security perspective there, or from a cloud security broker perspective, they use CloudLock, WebEx does. What that allows you to do is, you know, from the CloudLock perspective, you only care about what your own people do. So it's not really policing other people. Because from WebEx perspective, right, you can chat with anybody. It doesn't, they don't have to be in your org. They don't have to switch tenants. It's sort of any to any, which is nice because you can then, you know, interact with people on a daily basis without them having to flip between different tenants. But the Cloud Lock solution, what it does is it ties into your tenant and protects what your users are posting or sharing. So if there is something that, and it doesn't matter if your users are sharing in a space that is just internal, or you know, you might be the only user, but in an external space of all other different people. If you were to post something that violated a policy, it would go out and act upon that message for you, could delete it. It'll notify people. But if somebody else from another company shares something, that's on them, right? So it doesn't act on that because, you know, it doesn't know about that user.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I know we're getting close to the end here. Our time is running nigh, so we only got a few more spaces to roll through. Let's touch on rooms and spaces. Let's talk about Cisco, because Cisco has had a market cornered on rooms and spaces for quite a while. So why don't you kick that one off?
Yep. So Cisco has a long tradition of producing great hardware for meeting rooms. Their software and hardware are all controlled by Cisco, so the user experience is essentially, you know, consistent across the portfolio. They, you know, just like most vendors out there, they do have a lot of products that satisfy a multitude of requirements. For your huddle spaces, they have the Desk Series. Essentially, it's going to be, you know, another computer screen, but it's an all-in-one solution that has a camera built in. You can, you know, use it as a second monitor. So it, you know, does double duty there. Then, you know, from the small, medium, and large conference rooms, they have the Board Series, which is going to be the big, you know, touchscreen television looking device that you can either put on a stand or a wall.
Interactive.
Yeah. Be able to go in, you know, they have the pens so that you can do whiteboarding and all that stuff. So the room system for years have been the workhorse of Cisco's portfolio, providing a lot of ports and functionality for if you want to connect multiple screens. You can connect document cameras, presenter cameras. And then, you know, essentially they have a lot of just... Okay. So... Cisco has created an open concept. Over time, right, they've realized that implementing standard-based protocols is beneficial for all parties. So all of their endpoints are SIP-based endpoints that allow any other SIP-based endpoint to be able to call and interact with that endpoint. So what Cisco does is we'll put the link in the podcast, that it is the Cisco Project Workspace, and it's a really nice tool and website to visit that allows you to look at the type of room, the you know, how big the room is, how many people are going to be joining, and to sort of design the environment and the solution that's going to best fit you. It will recommend the different types of endpoints that it suggests in those types of environments. And then lastly, right, Cisco has been playing really well with Zoom and its competitors, Zoom and Microsoft, the two main competitors. So they've started to put some macros. They built some macros. Now it's actually built into the software of just cross-launching into a Zoom meeting or cross-launching into a Microsoft meeting. And then the latest announcement was that now there are the newer models of the endpoints and the codecs are going to allow you to run a native Microsoft experience on that device. So you would be able to, if you've decided that you're going to be using Microsoft conferencing and meetings in the future, then, but you like Cisco's, you know, experience from the endpoint side of things, you can just have a native Microsoft experience on that device.
And it works well for bring your own meetings. So organizations that maybe have a Cisco footprint and a Teams footprint, and your direct routing between both environments, you can have one conference room that supports both users. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it does make it easier. And they, you know, they have, you know, you can have the native, even though you're running it in Microsoft mode, if it does join a Cisco WebEx meeting, then it will still have a native WebEx experience as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So from a rooms and spaces perspective, Microsoft is at a slight disadvantage when it comes to Cisco, as there's not many devices that Microsoft natively makes, right? For those, like, there's Surface hubs and Surface devices that support Teams meetings and Teams rooms. But the Microsoft relies heavily on the third party ecosystem to get that underway for them, right? So interactive displays, and aside from the Surface hub, but other interactive displays and rooms like that, we're reliant on the Cisco codec or Jabra devices or, Yealink, if that's your flavor. There's a myriad of them out there, right? And the other thing is that, you know, in order to enable a team room, you have to get a Teams room license. So Teams rooms are not treated the same as just a regular user, that you have to have a Teams room license and have it configured. Now, a Teams room device can be fully managed from within your system, from if you're doing, you know, endpoint management, and you have a PC or PC-like device that's running that room, you have the ability to manage that. So that endpoint managed security updates, it's the same ecosystem as endpoints. So you don't have to have that. How do I manage this? Go to another solution. You can be pushing out that one uniform. Everything's going to be on the same plane, you know, regardless of the vendor you have on the grounds, which is, I feel, is a good thing. Because consistent, well, at scale, let's just put it to you that way. Because consistency is by far the most talked about challenge in Teams rooms. I've been in organizations where they all have a Crestron team room, a Yealink team room, the Jabra team room, and they all have different experiences, and they're all at different levels of patchwork and firm. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into managing those. So, you have the ability to do that endpoint management from the Microsoft ecosystem. So again, slight disadvantage to Cisco, because they are not only creating the hardware, they're curating the experience, and they're able to, you know, fine tune what that looks like. Though Microsoft's third party ecosystem is strong, and it is good, and it does support massive amounts of devices. So you have a configuration for any type of environment that's out there, from a huddle to those phone booth stand up Lenovo type devices, all the way through a full blown multi-panel, multi-camera, you know, production room. So I think that's a value. I wouldn't say it's a compare and contrast with Cisco, because Cisco has all of that too as well. You just have a little bit more options from a budget perspective, as opposed to, you know, having a smaller fleet to pick from, if you will. Rolling on to endpoints. So from a Microsoft perspective, you know, it's managed, right? Log in and go. You have the ability to, you know, be in the Teams admin center and manage the device, manage the license for each user from an endpoint perspective. So if you have common area phones, you can have those configured out, log them in and go. If you have hard desk phones, log them in and go. It's all managed from the Teams admin center. I know it's very similar from a Cisco. Cisco Control Hub. I'm speaking for you, sir. Sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, Cisco Control Hub handles the great provisioning and management there too as well. So I think, you know, we're on parity here how that's done. And Control Hub comes with a solution, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So there's really no, in the days of old, you used to have to buy systems to manage the devices. Like if you were a Poly, you know, you weren't able to integrate that into, you know, a team solution. You used to have a little server running that pushed out the code. I mean, you still can do that, but you have the ability to do things a little more streamlined with both solutions. We mentioned common area phones. There is a common area phone license for Microsoft Teams. And Teams shared devices. So that particular model, again, goes into your planning. So if you're going to have a conference space, that's not just bringing your own laptop in and plugging into a device. You're going to have a Teams room. You need a Teams room license. If you're going to have a common area phone in a lobby or a hot phone on a production floor or what have you, those common area phones need to be licensed as such. And I believe Cisco has a very similar process, right?
From the conference room side of things, yes, right? So you will have to purchase a license for the room devices. From the common area, it's a little different if you are an enterprise agreement subscription. Mm. So if you do have an enterprise agreement subscription, you get up to the number of knowledge workers purchased, or up to 50% of the knowledge workers purchased. So let's say you have a subscription for 500 users, you would be able to deploy 250 common area phones at no additional cost.
Wow. That's value add.
if you're a named user, then you would still have to purchase that common area license on top of the knowledge worker count.
Well, if you think of it, you know, large campus people that have large campuses typically would be under an EA because of their spend and they want to negotiate that. And if you have large campuses, there's a high likeliness you have a higher volume of common area phones. So that's a very good cost benefit there, right?
Correct. Yep, definitely.
Yep, for sure. Now here's a big shine for the Cisco world. And yes, I am purposefully being kind to Cisco. I've learned to like the solution and love the solution when it comes to this, plus some other things that you've showed me with the contact center and how it integrates with the Microsoft products. So I think it is a better together, but there is the ability to direct route third party. You know, there's no MS license costs incurred on third party, right? Analog lines is not something that Microsoft does. Can you want to talk through the whole realm of analog lines, if you can, as we kind of finalize this?
Yeah, and so it's not all one-sided anymore here in a bit because, from an analog perspective, right, Cisco has some smaller analog gateways. They have, you know, 2-4 ports. You can go a lot bigger with, you know, 32, 64, and even 144 port gateways for analog that are, they're registering to the WebEx cloud. So your management and everything all takes place in that same control hub. Cisco also supports the Audio Codes Media Packs, which is, you know, a 24 port or the larger 288 port one. The thing to notice there though is because everything cloud-based is secure, and we're going to use SRTP and all of that for encryption. The Audio Codes 24 port, the 124E, it will only allow you to activate 17 ports of the 24. Why? because of the encryption requirements.
Okay.
So, from a Microsoft perspective, right, for Audio Codes specifically, I know they are getting really close to allowing the media packs, the newer media pack models, to register to the Teams admin center, so to Microsoft directly.
Wow.
You will have to purchase a license for it. So, you know, you will have to purchase a phone system license for it. Whereas, you know, Cisco, again, it still requires a license, but it's a different type of license. So you can purchase a lower version of the license, which would be a lot cheaper than, you know, purchasing, say, like a knowledge worker license.
But that's brilliant. That gives more options, right?
Definitely.
Would you say that their decision to do that is because there is a larger adoption rate, not a larger, more so than another, but a increased adoption rate of Teams Voice? Or is this in response to something? I mean,
I would say it's because they personally, right? I would say that they can see this as lost revenue because, you know, if there are customers out there that do have a lot of analog, well, they're going to keep all of that analog connectivity on-prem, and they will register those media packs to, say, an audio codes SBC and not out to the cloud. So then, you know, at that point, if, you know, which means you would have direct routing in place. So from a Microsoft perspective, all we're doing would be sending those calls that are destined to analog devices just straight into the audio codes environment.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Anything else around analog you want to touch on?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, we're pretty much at the end of the licensing compare and contrast. So typically I try to, you know, at the beginning of a show say, hey, this is for the business side, this is for the tech side. I didn't, because I made a note on my personal notes here that I use to touch on things. I was like, this is for everyone, because there are technical bits, there are business decisions that are involved in licensing. So this can be consumed by anyone, and, you know, it's ever changing. So this is a point in time. I do want to call that out. Everything we've talked about, obviously seek a professional. We always give that disclaimer, seek a professional before you pull the trigger on something that you may or may not have an understanding of, but maybe just validation from someone, ask a professional. Links in the show notes on how to do that. We'll have a gobs of links for you to follow and get your, get the right bearings, if you will. I think today is might be disappointing for those who are wanting that boxing match we talked about earlier. It's, you know, there is a lot of parity in the services, and I think you know, there are some things that hedges one solution over the other, but it would depend on how you use those services that would determine if that's of a value for you. And again, I think, again, my big take to the Cisco world when it comes to this solution is that it is a solution that does dovetail together. There's ways that this can work for both organizations. Maybe eventually you want to be cloud native, or your teams want to use, or your staff wants to use Microsoft Teams, and maybe just dump WebEx conferencing inside of Teams and use the WebEx conferencing. You can do that. There's so many abilities and capabilities with these various things that you have. And if you have an existing license spend, we can make it useful for you and tailor it to be not only cost effective, but productive for your people. I think that's my final words on it. Again, no boxing match here. What are your final thoughts, Chris, that you might have?
No, I think, yeah, just like you said, reach out. You know, there's, you know, two ways to go about it, right? One, we will be able to look at and make sure that you are using, you know, all of your capabilities that you have purchased, whether it's Cisco or Microsoft, or, you know, if one is better for your business than the other, we can help you, you know, get there.
Yep. Perfect. On that note, again, contact a professional. We like to thank you immensely as listeners and viewers when this makes the video. This doesn't happen without you watching and consuming, but it also doesn't happen without Solutions for Networks, who are the anchor sponsor for this content. You'll find this being distributed amongst my streams, solution streams. We just want to get the good word out on technology and how best to use it. So again, thank you so much. And we will see you on the next one.